This is CliffCentral.com. The Buzz on CliffCentral.com.
A very good afternoon to you, and you're listening to The Buzz here on Cliff Central. I'm Nikita Camacho, and I've got Duncan. He's driving for me this lovely Friday. Hey, Duncan.
Hey, Nikki.
So we're going to have a good time. Yeah. So Jason is out and about, and we'll catch up with him later, and so is Jen. So I don't know if you've been seeing the news lately, Duncan. We've got quite a bit going on in celebrity news, local celebrity news. So our favorite Food Network star, Siba Mutungana, she actually had another little project this week, and that actually involved the birth of her new baby girls, Buchle. So she always has this great timing when it comes to celebrity, well, when it comes to her show. And I always find that whenever she has a birth of a baby, there's a new show coming through. So let's see. I think there's got something to do with the whatever magic they're working in the kitchen there at home. Mm-hmm. Speaking of other celebrities, we have, I don't know if you've seen on Instagram, Bonang Mateba is up to something in LA. So she's been snapping up a lot of pictures there at E! Entertainment. So we don't know what the rumor mill has for us. Some people claim that there is a show. She really is living the high life. Just her shoe collection lately, I am envious. So this week, what we saw was the Grammy show. It was massive. You know, just hot on the hills where Kanye West said that he was in debt of $53 million. And I still thought, hang on, dude. How do you ask Mark Zuckerberg for money on Twitter? Seriously? You're on the wrong platform. Speaking about that, we're going to go across to Jen. She's actually in Dubai for the Taste of Dubai Festival. And she'll let us know about more entertainment news.
Hey there, Nikita and Duncan. I'm in Dubai for the worldwide launch of Taste the Feeling, the new global campaign from Coca-Cola. Here's a snippet of the acoustic version performing live. So awesome. Of course, that commercial version is also produced by Avicii with Conrad Sewell on vocals. Now, speaking of vocals, it might be a few days after the Grammys, but for Adele, that nightmare just lives on for her. Apparently, she's still crying after the sound went awful on her performance. I mean, I felt so bad for her. After the Grammy sound debacle, Adele tweeted that the piano mics fell onto the piano strings, which made it sound out of tune and made Adele's voice sound out of tune. Just awful. The after parties had plenty of drama too. A Jimmy Kimmel Live after party at Hollywood's Argyle showed cameras recording Paul McCartney, Beck, and Foo Fighters drummer Taylor Hawkins being turned away. Rapper Tiger was being blamed for them being banned from entry, but he said he doesn't control the guest list. New York Fashion Week is in full swing with the celebs, and even though Kanye West was dissed badly during the Grammys, it was his night when he launched his album and his official clothing line, Yeezy. In the audience, it was Kim Kardashian, Northwest, and Lamar Odom, for the first time in public, came out there among other celebs. And of course, it's just 9 days to go before the 88th Academy Awards takes place in Hollywood. The Academy will also be hosting viewing parties in London at the Ham Yard Hotel in Soho and in New York at the Rainbow Room in Midtown Manhattan. The Oscars takes place at the Nokia Theater in L.A. on February 28th. The Buzz, I'm Jen Su. Now back to you guys.
Okay, so as you can see, the Grammys was busy, busy, busy. And Duncan, I don't know if you saw what happened with Kanye West lately with his new song. He said that he actually owns Taylor Swift. So her interview, well, not her interview, her acceptance speech, she won Album of the Year. She's the second woman in history to do so twice in a row. And she actually said, you know what, there's going to be naysayers. Technically, mm-hmm. She's saying that haters are going to hate. Mm-hmm. So I just think he's looking for publicity. So moving on from the Grammy news and entertainment, we have our guest for the day. They're in studio. And going from the drama of the Grammys, we're going to the drama on stage. So we're welcoming in studio my diva magic. It is Irit Noble and Oluwetu. Welcome. Well,
thank
known
you
as the magician, eh?
Yes, I'm the magician.
So thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you.
Well, you didn't come through a magic carpet because you put yourself as the magician, eh?
No.
So I just wanted to find out, so what are you guys doing at the moment, and just what is the show all about, the cabaret show?
It is a comedy cabaret magic experience, and it is about nothing. It's about having fun. It's about pleasure and joy and eye candy and silliness and iconic old world glamour. That's what it's about.
Oh, nothing.
That's yeah, interesting. Just don't. Isn't it nice? You just come in, kick off your shorts, watch the show, feel good, go home, go, what was that about? Oh, that was just about fun for once.
So do you have? So is every show different then? If you're telling me it's about nothing.
No.
So you do have a structure. No. I'm just seeing that people aren't aware of what the show is about until they take their seats and they get into it.
Right. So it's about glitz and glam and having fun and just letting go of all the troubles, leaving them outside. But the actual format of the show is very slick. We glam, man. We like to glam it up, hey. It's glamorous. The music is quite old school. I do cabaret, like comedy cabaret, so it's iconic, you know, it's sexy and it's sassy and it's tongue-in-cheek and it's got a wink on its face.
A
wink on its face, how beautifully put, wow, give me a job in radio immediately. And then Olweto is an award-winning magician who's worked all over the world. And look, he's only 24. Look how beautiful he is.
Yeah. Can you believe it? Award-winning. Oh, you're looking snazzy as well. I'm like,
thank you.
Not bad looking either. That's, you know, it must be the magic touch. Hey?
Thank you very much.
So what is your role on the show?
My role on the show, I will be the magician of the show. So I will be performing my award-winning act. In this show, this is going to be my first time performing my award-winning act in Johannesburg. If you've seen the Glamipulator performing on TV, now it's the chance that you come and see it live. So I will be performing with my partner. She's going to be singing. Mm-hmm. We're going to be dancing in the show. She's going to be also doing some magic.
Yes. Let me tell you, this guy is so good that I've actually learned magic just by like osmosis, just through spending time with him. No, what I actually did was I just worked on a couple of really silly ass magic tricks that I've made up myself. I own those tricks. Anybody wants to use them, there's a TM right up in the corner.
Exactly. They have to pay for the rights, so they have to pay for the rights. You have to get some royalties out of it.
The thing is as well that I think my magic acts as a foil to really show how fantastic he is. So that's it. And then you don't sing, hey, that's a pity.
No,
then
you
see how great I am.
Just the comparison coming through there.
Oh yeah.
So Irit, how did you actually get a part? Well, how did you actually join the show? How did you be involved with Ma Diva Magic?
Ma Diva.
So Ma Diva like Magic.
But it's the Ma Diva.
Oh, so it's Ma Diva. Okay.
Ma Diva, bro. Okay.
I see where we're going.
No, so I'm the Ma Diva and he's the magic part of it.
Okay.
And the way the whole thing, it kind of grew very organically. It was a little seed that plopped out of this gentleman over here. Our studious gentleman, Jean-Pierre Marie-Klein, and he's our producer. And, you know, I haven't actually checked this with him, but from my side, what happened
well,
was...
Your point of view.
From my perspective, this is how I saw it. One day he said, why don't you buy a comedy magic blah, hey, how about a show that's cabaret and magic together? And I was like, wow, that sounds like a really weird idea. And the next thing I had a full brief and a partner and a venue and a fantastic director who's also a fashion show director and has also been an entertainer himself. So he's very focused on the look, the glamour, the lights, the tech of it. And so here we are. It was just literally a little... germ of a thought, and that's how all these creative ventures start. It's just a little Gareth Cliff. Hello.
Yeah, always starts with some idea.
You know what I mean? 4 o'clock in the morning, he's lying there thinking, "Oh, I wonder if I should start my own station." Bam! And then the next thing, you know, you take the steps and you do it, and then it manifests.
And then you speak about a lot of glamour. It's going to be, you know, cabaret, and obviously I've got this wild imagination that how amazing this is looking. So how does the costume design come into it? You know, obviously is everything a lot of feathers, sequins, the looks?
Oh yeah. When I do my card act, I've got a beautiful costume. And by the way, my stage name, they call me Glamipulator.
Glamipulator.
Oh,
it's like Glamipulator alligator.
Okay. Oh yeah, because I'm a sleight of hand artist. I specialize in manipulation, where I produce things, cards, umbrellas, just from nowhere.
Can you produce money?
Oh, that's easy.
That's the job of the show, I think.
Oh yeah, in the show I've got my beautiful glam costume. It's a nice tails with the glitter and everything is just shine. It's beautiful. It's the show that you can't miss.
So you talk about your tricks, so more about manipulation. So yes. More, so you don't do disappearing acts. You're not going to make any of us disappear in studio today.
Probably not for today. Yeah,
not if you're good.
I'm good at being bad.
Ooh, well, then he might make you disappear, and he'll know where to find you.
That's fine. We'll talk about that later. Eh? So what other tricks are you talking about? So you say you got a lot of cards. If you had to take me through a magic trick, for example, how would that work?
Oh, yeah. For you, I can do a nice special card trick.
Okay. So he's holding a deck of cards in front of us here.
Oh, yes. With me, I've got the 52 cards. If you don't mind, would you mind just stretching your hand?
Okay. Let me stretch through, yeah.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Here, I'm just going to give this deck a shuffle. Do you want to shuffle or can I shuffle?
Okay, you can shuffle. I'm not that good.
You trust me?
Yes, I trust you.
Okay, cool. Awesome. I'm just going to give this deck a quick shuffle just like this. And you're going to do me a favor. Let's just fix these cards. What I want you to do, I want you to select one card.
Okay.
Just pick one card. Any card. Anyone. Okay, anyone. See. Take anyone.
Okay.
Take
one. So I've got my card.
Okay. Do you want to show it to your friend?
Okay. Duncan here.
Okay. Okay, cool. Got the card. Cool. Okay. I want you to put the card right back in the packet so that I'm going to close my eyes.
Okay. So put it anywhere.
Yes. Anywhere.
Okay. In between. Okay. Let's put it. Yeah.
Great. Awesome. You're done. You can give the deck a quick shuffle.
Oh, okay.
Any shuffle.
I'm not as pro as you. How terrible is this? It's like shuffle, pick up 52 cards if I drop it now.
Okay.
All right.
Three questions.
Okay.
Would you mind me to find your card in an easy way or a wow way or a hard way? Which one?
Wow. Yeah, we're looking for the wow factor here on the board.
Okay.
What about...
Okay, so if you keep in mind, if you know the wow way, it is also a hard way.
Okay.
Because I must actually make you to go, wow, how did you do that?
Yes.
Okay, check this one. Okay, I'm going to shuffle these cards just like this. One card is going to jump on top of the packet just like that.
Okay.
No, I didn't say that was your card.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
So it's going to jump like that. Okay.
Okay, cool. Check. What card is this?
Okay, so that's a king of... What's a king of
diamond? King of diamond. Yeah. And that was not your card, right?
No.
Look, I'm going to take the king of diamond. I'm going to give it a quick twist like that.
Okay.
Was that your card?
Oh, shit. That's impressive. That is impressive, eh? So our card was a four of clubs.
Oh. It's magic.
It's magic. Clearly, a card just transformed in front of my face from the king of diamonds to four clubs. Oh, clubs. Oh, I'm actually flabbergasted. Spades. Can you actually hear spades? You see? I don't even know what I'm talking about. You see, I don't even play that many cards.
Okay, but in my Diva Magic Show, I will be making furniture fly.
Furniture fly?
On stage. I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Okay, just a little snippet. So furniture is going to fly on stage.
It's going to fly on stage. It's going to be beautiful music. It's going to be beautiful. I'm going to make the furniture just fly. Not even touch it. No camera tricks, no strings, nothing.
Oh, I'd be a bit worried. No, as long as you're sitting in an audience and it's fine and no flying furniture at my head.
No.
So you don't go home and you do these tricks to your mother?
Probably I do. My mother, she loves magic. I will learn a trick and then I'll go and show my mom and say, "Look, mom, this is the trick that I came up. She'll be like, oh, my boy, you're good. You're even better than David Copperfield. I'm like, okay, no. I think I'm better, but not like better than Copperfield. But yeah.
They always say, you know, your mom's always going to be your number one fan.
Yes.
So how did you actually get into magic?
When I was young, in 2005, so I've been doing magic for more than 10 years now. I studied magic for 6 years at the school called College of Magic. It's in Cape Town.
And so how old were you when you started there?
I was 11 years old.
Gee, I didn't know you could go from such a young age to magic school.
Oh, yeah. So I went to the school. The school, it's an NGO. So I went there, got a scholarship to study for 6 years. In the school, they're not only focusing on magic. So they teach you basic in juggling, basic in mime and clowning and drama, introduction into a theater course. So that 6 year course, they teach you, you learn a lot because we are kids from all different backgrounds, from poor to rich, and we come into this one space and we share the art of magic. So that was the wonderful 6 years. And the career didn't stop. Entered competition. I've performed all over the world. I've been to China, Las Vegas, Italy, UK. I'm doing this art of magic, and now I'll be here in Sandton.
Oh my! Live. So how do you even know that? I didn't even know that you could actually go to a magic school from such a young age.
What do you think?
It's very.
Do you
like
think
Harry,
it's just magic?
Clearly, that just comes to you. Like you wake up one morning and be like. Furniture's flying around. Okay, cool. Where's the deck of cards? I'm getting out there. So then you traveled and you went. Did you do all the manipulation? Is that what, like you said, that's your talent?
That's my talent. I like to specialize in stage magic, a sleight of hand. I do also close-up magic. When I go overseas, I would enter competitions. Sometimes I would have opportunities to go and make some money, make some living out of it. So I'll do contracts. So that's my career, and that's what I'm doing. I'm a full-time entertainer, magician. Yeah,
that's amazing.
It's
so
beautiful.
So now you're gonna be in Sandton. You know you're gonna be putting on the show.
Yes.
So people have up until when is it? So it's starting on the 22nd of February to the 27th of February.
And yes. We've got two shows on the 27th. So one is an afternoon matinee. And the show is kid-friendly. Okay, so you can bring your kids on Saturday afternoon to Sandton Theatre on the Square to see My Diva Magic.
Okay, so is that one not as risque then?
You know what? I have a, the same as you have your board in front of you.
Oh, yes.
My board is in my head. So when I see the audience, I can generally,
just
but
switch it,
it is family friendly, and I have other avenues and areas where I can express the, you know, the other sides of my creativity.
So just tell me something, is it just the two of you? Are you a two-person show?
Yes, it's just the two of us.
So how long is the show that the two of you get a show, you know, you have to run a show, just two people? I'm like, I'm panicking just thinking of it.
It's verging on an hour. It's a nice, fat little theatre experience. So it's like magic, set-up, trick with wardrobe, everything, and then cabaret with, you were asking about the glamour, with drag. I mean, I'm actually a female, but I'm a drag artist. And then songs and, you know, so it's a little bit of taking your mind off the magic and then going back to the magic. And now and again, we interact with each other. And of course, that's so much fun because, I mean, there's nothing better than just having a guy with you on stage and say, hey, Oweto, isn't this fun, bro?
and there's never a dull moment, I'm sure, as well.
There's never a dull moment. No, of course not. No. So, and you can see more about the show on Madiva with a V, madivamagic.co.za, and then also see more about Oweto himself and me, myself, and then you can come and watch us just take that stage together.
So then are you both on social media as well?
Yes.
So what is your entertainment?
On Facebook, you can find me. It's Oweto Glamipulator Dianji.
Okay, Twitter. So you just Facebook?
Yeah, just Facebook.
Okay,
just Facebook.
So that's the only magic there with it.
And I'm also old school. I'm not on Instagram yet. I'm on Twitter, and it's Irit Noble, which is spelled I-R-I-T, Irit Noble. And if there is anybody in Johannesburg who wants to come on Saturday night, Ekkes in Boksburg.
Oh, really?
At the Live Arts Little Theatre. doing a very different show to Madiba Magic, my own one-woman show, cabaret, not cabaret, comedy, kind of a little bit more. And then Madiba Magic, the whole of next week is just, there's just glitter in the air, suspended, the whole of next week, 22nd to the 27th of February, Sandton Theatre on the Square.
Perfect. So if you missed that, go get your tickets. They're going to be there for a week. Get the glitter, the glam. Be ready for some magic, flying furniture, some cards. It's a great thing to go check out. And also, thank you very much for coming to studio.
Thank you. And thank where's you. Gareth? Because I was told by my PR person that I wasn't going to have to sit on a chair. Okay?
Oh, really?
That I was going to be able to sit on Gareth Cliff's lap. And that's actually why I'm here. So
we'll go see what we can do. We'll go find him.
Come on, man. Magic.
We'll do
Make
something.
It happen.
We'll do it. You're listening to The Buzz here on Cliff Central. I'm Nikita Camacho. We'll be back after the music.
This is CliffCentral.com.
There's no reason or explanation.
And that is Hour with Obvious. You're listening to The Buzz here with Nikita Camacho on Cliff Central. So we just had the cast of Madiba Magic, and with more magic for the day on our Friday, we're switching it up a little bit, and we're talking to Topaz Paige Green. And if you don't know who she is, she's here. She actually just ran, well, not ran here. She was here from the Free State. She just drove up. And welcome to studio.
Thank you very much.
So we're going to be talking about the Lunchbox Fund. So if people aren't aware of it, what is the Lunchbox Fund all about?
Well, to give you the elevator scenario, basically the Lunchbox Fund is a nonprofit organization that I started over 10 years ago now. We're celebrating our 10-year anniversary this year. And we're a nonprofit organization that provides a daily meal to impoverished, at-risk, and vulnerable school children in rural, peri-urban, and urban township schools across South Africa.
And for people who aren't actually aware of it, this is a project here in South Africa, and it's receiving a lot of attention internationally. So you have a lot of celebrities on board, and like dignitaries, like you have Desmond Tutu who's on board, Joaquin Phoenix. Did I see Beyonce's name there the other day?
She has contributed in the past, yes.
So you see, people aren't aware of it. You know, that celebrities are out there giving back. And here in South Africa now, we're trying to get the ball rolling, to get more people involved.
Yeah, I mean, that's the idea. In the last 10 years, we've built the charity from feeding 100 children a day, you know, starting very humbly in Soweto. And we've grown significantly since then up until now. And we're now feeding 13,000 kids a day, you know, in early childhood development centers, primary and secondary schools, and in focused after-school homework concentration and skills development groups. And up until now, a lot of our support and a lot of our funding, the majority of such, has come from international sources. And partly it's because I do a lot of work there. But, you know, that was the last 10 years. The next 10 years is about elevating the awareness and the funding and the support within South Africa. And I'm excited about that.
So what is your goal for the next the next 10 years? You know, you started 10 years ago. You started with such a small number of kids. What is your aim for the next 10 years? How many kids do you think? How are we going to raise the bar?
Well, you know, that's a very good question. you know, we've had the Cape Wine Auction and ETV be incredibly and consistently supportive of the cause, and it's about having more institutional and corporate and foundation and individual backing from within South Africa, and to be able to raise that. You know, there's over 12 million kids living below the poverty line, and government feeding programs reach around 8 million of those kids. So there's a large gap of children that need help. That's, you know, around 4 million children, and a lot of those kids are in early childhood educational stage of their life, and if they're not getting the proper nutrition, they're not going to be they're presenting at primary school as school unready and uneducatable, and really a lot of that has to do with nutrition. So when you ask what the goals are for the next 10 years, well, it's to reach those kids. it's to reach all of those kids so that there's not a single child in this country that's set back because of something as simple and repairable as a lack of nutrition.
So then you talk about, you know, you're sending in, let's talk, well, just taking a step back. So you go into the schools. At the you started with Soweto. Now you've gone across, are you across all provinces at the moment?
We are incredibly happy and incredibly proud to say that this year we have become nationwide and we have presence in every province. And what we want to be doing is becoming... is increasing our numbers in the rural areas and increasing our numbers of children in areas that are difficult to reach. You know, we do a lot of work in Johannesburg and around the Cape Town township areas, and it's about getting to those places that just aren't as easy to monitor and take care of.
And a lot of the rural areas, like I was at your presentation for the 10-year anniversary, and I saw that you spoke a lot about rural areas, and that you have a lot of field workers who actually go out there, and they're not actually accessible places as well. And I think it's amazing that in a rural area that people don't have much communication, or just that via word of mouth, that people have become aware of the Lunchbox Fund and the incredible work that you're doing.
We do. We have an incredible amount of support that comes from, you know, ETV has done a few presentations and featured us in the news. And from that, we have an incredible amount of outreach from within rural places of requests for help and requests for assistance. You know, we don't want to impose our program where it's not wanted or when there's something that would be preferred. We like to implement a program when we know that it's going to be valued and where we have buy-in from the community and community support. And, you know, at this point we have 27 field workers and food preparers that are from within the community who become eyes and ears of the program and feed back into what we're doing, you know, to make sure that everything is on the right track.
And that is actually such a small team, 27 field workers to go across the country nationwide to make sure that these kids are getting a full meal. So they get a meal, it's a school week. The kids will come get a meal. And can you just explain to people what actually the lunchbox is? Because I don't want people to think it's just a random sandwich or something that's a handout. That it's actually, there's a lot more thought that goes into the process.
Yeah, well, we make sure that it's important to us that kids get something that makes them feel considered and loved and cared about, and we put a lot of attention into the meals, and our meals are hot and they feel like home-cooked meals, and they're also all nutritionally fortified. So we ensure that children get a varied diet, that there's something different every day, and that the foods help mitigate the issues that you see from a lack of nutrition and lowered immune systems. So an example of meals are soy mints and fortified immuno meal, rice, beans, lentils, samp, sugar beans. We have soups and soup mixes. We have Vita drinks and milk powders that are all fortified. So children are really receiving the nutrients they need to be able to do well in school, to be able to learn, to be able to be prepared, to be able to get healthy minds, brains, bodies, and receive their education.
So then also while the kids are actually receiving these meals, they're receiving a hot meal, and I think it's also that great sense of community that they can sit together, have a meal, share, and, you know, that they don't have to, that they actually feel special.
It's a very powerful and it's a very important thing, and to be able to draw together, to be able to have somebody sit there with them and eat with them, and for kids to be able to gather and chat, and, you know, I mean, in some of the places the meals are actually served in a big bowl and all the kids, you know, take handfuls at the same time, and it's a wonderful.
It's a great initiative, and I think people aren't actually aware of how little. Just tell us, how much is it per meal? Because I was actually shocked how much it is per meal. That people think, you know, just to help with charity, and you always think, I don't have a lot to spare to help others.
You know, it is R2.50 to feed a child. And that includes our monitoring, our evaluation, and our delivery. And to consider the fact that you can make such a massive difference in a child's life, just to give you a quick anecdote, we were in one area, there was a boy who was born without arms, and his mom did not take him to school. You know, she would leave him at home, and she would go and work in the sugar cane fields, and when she heard by word of mouth that we were providing meals at an early childhood development center nearby, she actually now walks the boy on her back to school an hour each way every day, and this boy is thriving in the school, and you know, it costs R2.50 to feed him. And what a radical difference R2.50 can make. You know, 1,000 rand is 400 lunches. 500 rand will feed one child like this boy for a year, for an academic year, and provide an incentive for parents to go the extra measure to take and keep this boy in school.
I think that's absolutely incredible. Like, Duncan, when last did you hear 2.50 could do such a change to a person's life?
I know most people buy cigarettes with 2.50. You could feed a child. That's amazing.
I didn't even know you could buy cigarettes for 2.50. You see, I don't smoke.
Me neither.
But that is, I think it's such an incredible initiative, and that you started this 10 years ago. Like, how did you actually get started? How did the Lunchbox Fund, were you doing charity work and just decided, okay, this is a great idea, or how did the idea actually come about?
I mean, I've always believed in the humanity of ensuring that every person has the basic right to having something to eat. You know, hunger is solvable. But I was home, and my school teacher, my old school teacher, Gillian Wilkinson, who did community service and still does do community service in Soweto, invited me to come along with her. And I went to the schools, and I was very moved by the work and what I was seeing. And in the last school that we went to, it was break time, and I noticed that several children were sitting separately from the others, and when I asked the teacher why those kids were sitting aside like that in a way that appeared odd, she said very matter-of-factly that those kids had nothing to eat and they didn't want to have to watch or be near kids who could bring a little something eating. And it was a lightning bolt moment that changed the rest of my life. And, you know, 11 years ago, not having any idea how I was going to do what I was going to do, we sat and we made a plan in that moment, and Gillian was very strict with me, and she said, you can feed 100 children at this school for 1 year, not one child more, not one day more. And I think it's an important thing when people feel overwhelmed by making a difference or doing good. People inherently want to do good, but get overwhelmed by what that entails.
Yes.
And setting small, manageable goals and things that you can succeed in, you know, and be patient. And we set up a plan and figured out what it would cost and what it would mean to provide a meal to 100 children for a year. And it meant for me going back to New York and raising $5,000. And in 24 hours, I had $6,000. And suddenly the world opened. And I said, aha, I can do this. And, you know, it's been an absolutely wonderful journey. And it's grown remarkably since then in all shapes and forms. And, you know, no kid should have to go to school hungry. No child's education should have to be compromised because they don't have access to nutrition at 18 months old. And we can make an urgent difference. And I would really like to call on, you know, South Africa to join us and to support us in what we're doing.
Especially, you know, there is a South African initiative, and that people are helping, like you said, across the board. You raise the money in New York, and you come, you know, you between there and here. And to have other people, let's say other celebrities, we can also, there are so many South Africans here, South African even celebrities. They are, you know what, just jump on board. We all have like 350 to spare. And also, you know, 500 rand, you can feed a child for a year. And the whole point about the Lunchbox Fund as well is that you don't just contribute once off. You know, you have to stand with them and think about it. You know, this is to feed a child. This is to help with their education in order to give them the best start that they can have.
Which was what I would say is the ultimate sustainability. It's a very, you know, it's very buzz to say it has to be sustainable. Well, feeding a child, in my mind, is the ultimate sustainability because they're in a place to get education and to become functioning members of society. But I'd like to add another thing, which is that people very much avoid getting involved with charities and this kind of thing, or because there's a lot of cynicism about where money goes. Yes. And how funds are allocated. And on one hand, it's a valid concern, and on another hand, it's a way to avoid being vulnerable or emotionally affected by the inequality and the difficult things that are out there in the world. And I just think that as people, we have to be bold and we have to do the research.
And step out of their bubble.
Don't avoid doing it because you can blanket statement that rubbish happens. Do the research. Find something that you can trust. Find something that you can believe in and just get behind it because it makes your world a better place to be in. And aside from that, with the Lunchbox Fund, 100% of our overhead, and we run a very lean ship, and 100% of our overhead and our admin costs are covered by our trustees. So the fact of the matter is that 100% of absolutely any contribution that we receive goes directly to our programs, directly to feeding kids, directly to making sure that we make the strongest, most powerful difference that we can.
And then there's also another way that people can get involved, and that is through your Feedy app.
Indeed.
So if people aren't, you know, people are aware of Uber, for example. So there is a Feedy app, and I was playing around with it. And what's amazing about it is that you can take a picture of your meal, and there are certain restaurants that are participating, and then they donate. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a really fun way to get involved through social media. And, you know, we're all about staying abreast with innovation, and we created an app, which is the first ever foodie philanthropy app. And Foodstagramming is very popular in this day and age. And if you download our app Feedy and you go to a restaurant that's a partner restaurant of ours that you can see on the map, that you'll see in the app when you download it, the restaurant donates the equivalent of a meal for a child. So you take a photo of your meal, post it on the Feedy app platform, the restaurant donates a meal. You get to do what you love, which is take food photos, and restaurants get to feel happy that they're out there in the public for doing good, and kids get fed. So it's a win-win.
So if you're not aware of it, please go to the App Store. It is called the Feedy app, and then you'll be doing your own contribution to the Lunchbox Fund. So if they want to know more information about the Lunchbox Fund, where can people find it?
More information is via the website, which is thelunchboxfund.org, and you can email us info@thelunchboxfund.org, and you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram, which is @TheLunchboxFund, and Facebook. We're online.
You're online. And then you can see all the incredible work they're doing. And this is our appeal actually to, you know, celebrities and to you. You know, all our listeners, if you have, you know, like I said, you've got 350 to spare, come on, 500 rand a year, you'll feed a child. And let's jump on board the South African initiative and show people international, well, actually the Americans, to say, hey guys, this is a South African initiative and we on board and we are to help the kids. Thank you so much, Topaz, for coming into studio.
Thank you.
And we will keep up to date with it.
Good.
And then we'll just go into music, and then we'll cross over to Jason and see what he's up to. And that is the Chainsmokers with Roses. It's actually quite a sick song. It's a perfect chill to get into the weekend. So if you're just joining, you're listening to Nikita Camacho here on The Buzz on Cliff Central. And we just had Topaz Page Green from the Lunchbox Fund. And she was just letting us know how we can contribute and what we can do to make a difference. Like, come on, seriously, don't you want to be involved with a fund or initiative that has Beyonce tied to it? You are in Phoenix, and we can all get involved. So speaking about initiatives and trying to do things, we've got Jason. He is online.
Hello
Jace. Are you?
Hi.
How are you?
I'm hot, but I'm
You're
good.
Hot.
I'm cool.
Okay, are you hot? Are you actually... Okay, so if you don't know what Jason is up to, he is actually at the Daredevil Run.
Yeah, so we're hanging out at Blue Lake.
Okay.
Probably about 32 degrees at the moment at the finish line. There's already a couple of guys donning their purple speedos, and it's just going to get more and more full of them as we edge our way closer to 3 o'clock, which is when the run starts. I don't know if you can hear in the background, but Watershed are actually doing a little bit of sound checking. Remember Watershed? They'll be performing at the finish and welcoming people in as they finish their 5-kilometer run. And, you know, it's just such a cool vibe. It's, you know, there's a beer tent here, there's jumping castles going up, lots of nice food, and like I said, the weather is incredible. And it's for a good cause. It's obviously for male cancer awareness. You know, I think it's 1 in 7, I stand to be corrected, but 1 in 7 people will be affected by cancer in his or her lifetime. So it's a big thing, you know, and we really need to raise awareness for it. Prostate cancer affects guys over the age of 40. and testicular cancer actually affects the younger generation. So it just really is something that, you know, we need to draw attention to and highlight it, and hopefully get some closer to a big cure, so to speak, and sort of limit the amount of numbers as well. So yeah, it's going to be a good day out.
Are you in a purple speedo?
I have my purple speedo on.
Oh, do you?
I haven't derobed yet.
Oh, do you? I don't want
to scar anyone just yet. I think just before 3 o'clock, I will derobe. And then we'll see. Yeah, so it's like the Battle of the Cliff Central Boys, it would appear, because Ben is running, so is Brent. And I'm sure a few other people as well, but yeah. I don't want to scar anyone too much just yet. Might frighten them away.
Yeah, because Duncan and I were sitting here in the studio looking, oh, geez, and we can be picturing you on the phone in this purple speedo, and you're saying it's blazing hot there. And I'm like, please don't get a sunburn, so that next week when you come into studio, you're going to be bitching about a sunburn as well.
Yeah, well, you know, with my colouring, it's pretty much impossible not to get some sort of colour, I wouldn't call it tan, I'd rather say, I'm going to get burned.
A burn,
I'm
going to
go red, and then I'm going to peel. So by the time I come back to studio next week, Friday, I should be all in the clear.
Okay, Jay, so we're going to wish you luck. Are you going to?
Thank you.
I just wanted to check with the race. Are you going to take this like super serious like you do with your triathlons? Is it going to be quite serious? Or are you just going to just wing it and you guys are just going to, you know, run it, but try and keep all your goods in place while you're doing it in those speedos?
Well, yeah, exactly. That's the main objective here, is that we have to keep everything in place. You know, obviously there's a budgie smuggler, so it is keeping everything in the right places. It's not a race. They've called it a run. So everybody's just going to have a duel. And, you know, it's not about having a six-pack or being the most toned individual around. Look, there are lots of those. Mr. South Africa, I mean, Brent had him on his show, John Owen.
Oh, yes.
He was actually, he's super cut, and he makes us all feel fat and ugly most of the time. But he's here, and then there's a whole bunch of other dudes who, you know, and there was a guy asking me on Twitter the other day if there was a size 46. So you can imagine he's a big lad. It's just all about raising awareness and raising the, you know, the alarm bells, so to speak, of cancer and how it affects us all. So it's going to be a very chilled one. I think there will be a lot of walkers. And I will also probably be taking it very, very slowly. I've got my ankle wrapped as well, a little bit injured.
Oh, goodness.
So, you know.
We don't want to hear excuses. We don't want to hear excuses. You're going to run. You're going to do this dash as quickly as possible. Just show the good stuff. Show Brett and Ben that you can do it, that you can run. Outrun them, okay?
That's the what you're going to do. Style, yeah.
Yeah, the best style, okay. So if you just joined in, it's Nikiza chatting to Jason. He's at the Daredevil Run. They're going to outrun cancer. And you've been listening to The Buzz here on Cliff Central. Jason, we just want to wish you luck. Have fun with
your
speedo. Take lots of pictures. And we'll see you in studio soon. No?
I will do that. And just quickly, if everyone wants to see what's going on, the hashtag is DareDevilRun.
Okay.
Hashtag DareDevilRun. And that's where everything's happening. So
awesome.
It's, yeah, you'll see lots of budgie smugglers. You'll see lots of phone, lots of, yeah, just good fun. And if you are in the Johannesburg area or Cape Town or Durban or George or Nelspruit, just head on through. Go check out the hashtag and get through to support this run. I think it's a great cause.
And it's a good way to start the weekend. Guys in speedos.
Exactly.
Thanks so much, Jace. Good luck. And then we'll chat to you soon.
Cool. Lekker.
Cheers. So, like I said, that was Jason, and you're listening to Nikiza here on The Buzz. Thank you very much for joining us this week. Next week, we should have Jen and Jason back in studio. So, have yourselves a great, fantastic week. Until then, Duncan, thank you so much for driving us. And have a good one. Thanks, everybody. Cheers.
This is CliffCentral.com.